This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
You little cheeky boogie.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. So, I've got an interesting thing coming up at home at the moment with our eldest daughter, who's about to turn 8.
I don't give child advice for free, you should know.
For free?
Well, I'm an expert.
I know you're an expert. You're such an expert, you didn't have them. Oh, like, seriously, that's the most expert thing I've ever heard someone say about having kids.
Can I just quickly put in this bit about the fact that on the weekend I went to a friend's baby shower. We're celebrating their first baby yet to come, right?
Yeah.
It's on its way. And I saw a bunch of their friends who I haven't seen in a long time, and they've all had kids and had a few kids grow up since I've seen them. And I'd be like, how are you going? And each one of them started with, yeah, good. I mean, the kids, oh, God. They're like, oh, my second is like, the first one's an angel. The second one is just a nightmare. But like, oh, yeah. And I'd be like, oh, hey, how are you going? Yeah, I mean, I'm tired. These kids. And I was like, we're at a baby shower. Like the irony of being at a baby shower when we're meant to be celebrating how great they are, and everyone I ran into was complaining about their children.
I know, and that's standard. Like this is the funny thing. It's standard because all I can think of is every conversation I have at the moment, which is basically, going all right. Oliver, absolute chaos at the moment. But like we've got tradies working on our household at the moment, so we're getting a kitchen reno done, and noticed something really interesting about our eldest. Last week when the tradies first started to rock up, she got up, could hear the tradies sort of coming in and out, got herself ready as in like dressed nicely, even went to this like trouble of putting on a little bit of makeup as well.
Oh.
And was like just sort of just wandered out into where the tradies were working and just, I don't know, just sort of, how can I put this? Just sort of sauntered around a little bit like, oh, hey, hi, guys. How you going? It's like, you know, I'm here. Wow. So I'm like just trying to make conversation with them.
Wow. But like, instead of normally like running away and.
But she's like, she's almost 8. And I don't know where she's got it from, but she's gone out of her way. Like she wasn't doing anything that day. She's gone out of her way to notice that these tradies are there. And this morning they're back. And she's not feeling too well, so she's got a day off school.
Oh.
And yet, she has still pulled herself together, right? A little bit of makeup, a little bit of rouge or something like that to make a bit of an impression on Liz.
Is she picking up this from Liz?
No.
Is Liz showing off in front of the tradies?
Oh, God, I hope not. Who knows?
This is modelling this behaviour off your wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think it's a funny thing, though, because, like, there's nothing in it. It's not like it's a sexual thing.
No.
It's just one of these things like, I know with my partner, little kids love him.
Mm.
Little kids don't really want anything to do with me. Teenagers are more interesting to me. I get along with them. They're my jam. So like when my friend's kids get a bit older, they're like, can you talk to my teen? Because they're being a nightmare. And they'll chat pretty easy with me. But kids, less so. But James is like, kids love him, and particularly little girls. Like little girls, they always want him to read the book, and they always want to sit really close next to him, and they really like, it's not like they're flirting with him, but they're just so enamored by him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. It's some weird primal.
It's a primal thing. It's got to be a primal thing because, you know, we're like, she's sort of seen various YouTubes and stuff, which she's sort of hammered down on a little bit, that are probably a little bit too old for her, you know, like they're TikToks and Vines and of US teenage stars. And, you know, they might like do a little bit of the flirting in the video or a little bit of the kissy in the video or something like that. We saw all that stuff. We're like, look, just a bit too old for you just yet, right? Just enjoy your childhood. And yet this has just come out of her, just out of nowhere. Like, I don't know where it's come. Because the other thing is Isabella, our middle one, couldn't give a stuff. Couldn't give a rat's ass about these guys. Like she got up the other day. She walked out of her room, just dressed in her PJs, hair everywhere, like half asleep, walked to the fridge, pulled out some milk, took the bottle of milk into the other room. Couldn't give a stuff, right? Even though these guys were doing all their thing. But Mila.
That's also the same way she behaves in our workplace,
Pete. That's true. That's very true.
She comes in here and she's exactly that kid.
But she, I'm just finding it interesting. I'm finding it really interesting.
I find it disappointing, though, because you certainly know that the tradies are going to no effort to look good for her.
No, you're so right. You're so right. They're an absolute mess, the tradies. hey, what's on the podcast this morning? What do we got?
Well, look, if you were looking for the Apollo show, which was the adult entertainment star that Pete asked way too many personal questions of, because Pete really wanted to know what happened in the adult porn industry, that's on its own podcast. We talked to him for so long, it needed its own podcast.
It was fantastic.
I was ready to wrap. I feel like we got everything we needed out of it, and you just kept going in for more.
I don't know where I'm going to have this opportunity again.
Oh, no, you really got the most out of it. So if you're looking for the Apollo show, that is on a separate podcast. But on this podcast, you'll get movie director and star James Cameron from Titanic, Avatar, etc., where he judged our drawings of Kate Winslet.
It's like the nude Kate Winslet on the sofa.
Yeah.
On the couch.
He gave really clear feedback, I thought.
Very clear and direct feedback. And lucky you. Princess Kate, unfortunate news, she has cancer. You know, she's responded to the months of speculation. Where is she? What's going on? We took you inside the walls of the Royals, inside the castle with our UK correspondent, Gavin Gray, who's got the full update.
Yeah, we played our first round of a new game that the producers threw on us called the Wheel of Inappropriate Questions.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And mine was inappropriate straight off the bat.
Yep. Mine was easy. I felt like mine was easy. I felt like I got off easy.
You did. You did. I think they'll probably get more inappropriate. We chatted to Lucinda from MAFS, the greatest contestant that's ever been on MAFS. Let's face it. We talked to a series of women who have given up on finding love. They're in their 40s.
Yeah.
And they've gone, you know, the dating pool's too small. There's not enough to choose from. I think I'm out.
Yep. Like proper out.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's a big decision. It's a big deal to go, I've had enough.
Because it's very young.
The rest of my life.
Yeah. You haven't had any of your needs met by then, have you?
Still... No, God, no. Yay or nay on the way as well, which throws a few interesting conundrums and also reveals things about our producer, Rami,
on the daily. It always
does. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you'll enjoy it. So thanks for coming to the podcast.
All right. Bye. Have a podcast. Bye.
Laters.
Streetman Sam goes wherever he can.
James Cameron was in town. Yeah. Massive star, obviously. Director of Titanic and Avatar. He's a big deal. And he was here at the WA Maritime Museum.
Yeah, for his new exhibition, Challenging the Deep. Streetman Sam, good morning. Hey, mate, first question. How's your mum going? How's Pam?
Good morning, Pam's excellent, depending on how this cross goes. We'll see if she approves or not.
I heard she's not happy with me, Street Man
Sam. She is not happy with you, mate. Play nicely or Pam's coming for you.
She's not happy because, Street Man Sam, we send you out whenever we want to get the big stars and we want to get the interviews, and Pete has been somewhat disappointed with your performance in the past, but I have always believed in you. And when we couldn't go to James Cameron on the weekend and I said, could you please go for us, you stepped up immediately. How did it go?
It was really cool, actually. It was a very small group of us. There was only like 12 of us in the room with James Cameron. So much eye contact went down. It was very cool. He's such an intelligent dude, and all these hard-hitting journalistic questions going on. They're discussing the environment and artificial intelligence, and somebody asked about MH370, which was a wild question to ask James Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe we've got some audio here. Take a listen to this.
The answer is pretty simple on this. The ocean's big, unfathomably big. And when you start adding depth and complex terrain to that, I mean, it's a needle in a haystack. I think they have some data that they've been able to narrow the search box. But it's a big problem. Nobody should be surprised that they haven't been able to find it.
So clearly the question is somewhere along the lines of where is MH370? Are we closer to finding it?
Wow. Streetman Sam, they do sound like really intelligent questions. Were you starting to flounder with some of the questions that we had sent you in there with?
I was nervous as all hell because my question was basically boobs, question mark. You sent me along with your beautiful artistic impressions because it turns out James Cameron actually drew the Kate Winslet portrait in the
movie.
Yeah,
so we've heard. So the actual portrait that Leonardo DiCaprio is holding in the scene where she's nude on the couch and she's wearing the Heart of the Ocean, he drew that. And so, yeah, we sent you along, mate, with a picture each in charcoal of that scene, and you presented it to James Cameron, right?
I did, yes. It was an intimidating moment, but...
You didn't sound intimidated really well when you mentioned that the pictures were drawn by adults, despite, Pete and I really trying, but let's hear how that went.
G'day, Mr. Cameron.
G'day.
So Pete and Kimber from our breakfast radio show have recreated your famous drawing of Kate Winslet. Just wanted to know whose version is better and any advice you'd like to pass on regarding
that. Okay, who's got the drawing?
Oh, visuals.
All right, so this is fan art?
This is from Pete and Kimber. They host our breakfast radio show. These are adults, yeah.
Oh, okay, so this is Pete and Kimber.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd stick to radio, guys.
It's a fair call.
All right, so there's no way I can finesse this diplomatically. I just have to pick one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the best one.
Okay, you know what? Even though this one is a little uncomfortably anatomically correct, I think for a PG-13 rated film, I think the face is captured better in this one.
Yeah.
And I think the hand position is captured a little better in this one.
Agreed.
Okay, so I'm going with Kimba.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, Kimba. That'll be $20 as we agree. Oh, sorry. Is this still on?
Did you only show him Kimber's one?
Wow.
Or what?
I'm happy with that.
The man's got taste, Pete. That's why he went with Kimber's, okay? Don't question it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Pete did actually include the pixelation. When we were drawing the picture of Kate Winslet, all of her bits were pixelated and Pete added it into the drawing.
I thought, Street Man Sam, I thought you did you've done a really nice job there, mate. Really, really nice job. Because I know I know your mum's listening probably now.
Sure, he has done a great job.
He's done a great job. Really nice job. Yep.
It was good. I did it, Pete.
Thanks. Good
Here
on you,
go.
Mate. Yeah, he's great.
Street Man Sam, thank you so much for doing the job that Pete wouldn't do.
You're more than welcome.
And, yeah, the drawings are up on Instagram, so you can have a look at them. But it's so cool. James Cameron looked at our drawings, Pete, and that's all thank you to Street Man Sam.
And chose yours. That's what he did.
Get along to the Maritime Museum. I bet it's a beautiful exhibition.
All right.
The Pete and Kimber Podcast.
Why are we going to the UK this morning to go inside the walls of the royal household? Months of speculation about the whereabouts of Princess Kate ended with this massive announcement over the weekend.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment.
Gavin Gray, good morning to you, mate. There we go. We have our answer, and it's a really unfortunate one.
Yeah, it is. Good morning to you, Pete Kimber. Still lots we don't know, but lots of people, I think, sticking their neck back in and plenty of calls from the media here for a lot of people to apologise. They're naming and shaming those behind such conspiracy theories. But, of course, there are lots of people who remain anonymous on social media. And even now, even despite this video, more people claiming it's not her, this is all staged, etc., etc. Quite extraordinary.
I mean, it's terrible news, but at the same time, I mean, it did require the people to speculate in order for the royal family to actually tell us what was going on. And the questions were mounting because everybody was like, something here doesn't add up.
Yeah, except and I think, Kimber, this is a crucial point. Of course, Kate's duty, first and foremost, is to her family. And the announcement came out Friday evening our time, Saturday morning your time. The reason it was delayed, I'm being told, is so that her children would just have finished term time and broken up for Easter. Now, why, you might say? Well, because Kate and William still take their children to and from school. I dare say that she didn't want to make the announcement before the end of term and for the children to be asked difficult questions by other children and or indeed other parents, and for Kate and William, albeit well-natured, to be approached by other parents. So I think that was the reason for this, the latest timing, as it were, of this. And they are in this terrible position at the moment. The Queen used to say, never complain and never explain. In other words, just ignore everything in the media. But that seems so, so old-fashioned and archaic now. And it also seems to be from an age prior to social media. So somewhere, the royals have got to strike a balance between releasing information and withholding information. And with Kate, we don't know what the cancer is, and we don't know whether her chemotherapy is via drip or pill and what the prognosis is.
The speculation rife around Harry and Meghan, and, you know, will this bring Harry back to the UK? Are there ties for the family to come back together again? And I thought, I kind of felt it was a little bit unusual over the weekend, Gavin, to see that, I don't know, it was almost secondhand the what they released in terms of their well wishes to Princess Kate.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, look, on the good side, Pete, at least they are back in touch. I mean, William and Harry haven't had anything to do with one another now for a couple of years, including when recently Harry was in town, just a few miles from William, and they didn't get together, not even for a coffee, I'm told, or a phone call. So the idea that Harry's reaching out, I suppose, is good news. In the longer term, will anything come of it? I'm not sure. There's even somebody said to me, oh, hasn't Harry now offered to do some more royal work? Well, I can't see that being accepted. I still think there's an awful lot of ground to cover before he can be anywhere near treated as somebody who's trustworthy by some of the royals who just haven't forgiven him for so much that was said. But there is, in the last sort of day, I suppose now, spokespeople for the Princess of Wales has said how much she's appreciated the support and the media going on and on about those who have made these conspiracy claims. And one other thing that's come out as well is that you may remember that Prince William was due to give a eulogy, a short talk at his godfather's memorial service. His godfather was the King Constantine of Greece. And Prince William pulled out of that with just minutes to go, which was an absolute shock, and that fueled the conspiracy theories. I'm now being told the reason he withdrew was because that was the very moment that he'd learned his wife had got cancer.
Wow.
Do you think this will make people quieten down now, Gavin, or do you think this is going to make them ask more questions about King Charles and his prognosis as well?
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Where do you draw the line? They're caught between a rock and a hard place. It seems improbable, impossible now to say nothing. I think we've seen that. But at the same time, then, how much do you say? Because ultimately, health matters are still private. Why should Kate have this slapped all over the media? That balancing act is very, very difficult for any of the royals, any of the royal communications officers to get right. As I said, at the moment, we know that King Charles and the Princess of Wales have both got cancer, but we don't know what those cancers are, and we don't know what the treatment is that they're getting. And of course, now the hunt is on for some people, at least, to try and find those things out. But plenty of people are saying we should leave both the King and Kate alone for the time being.
All right, Gavin Gray, our man inside the walls of the royal household, our UK correspondent, thank you very much for joining us, and all the best to you, mate. We'll catch up again soon.
Cheers, guys.
There's a wheel here. It's got Mix 94.5 in the middle and then numbers around the outside.
That's it spinning.
Thank you, Kimber. What's this all about?
Well, hey, we know that... Oh, okay, cool.
I can tell you the wheel's not rigged because every time I've spun it, it has landed on a different number.
That's good.
You know that we love surprising you guys, and so just play it, Pete.
Now, let us get down to business.
Wheel of Inappropriate Questions!
Right. It is the Wheel of Inappropriate Questions. This is the thing that we're going to use going forward. It is a wheel that we've found lying at the back of the mix cupboard, and we thought, you know what, we can take advantage of that. We can use that for content.
Okay. The Wheel of Inappropriate Questions.
Yes.
Questions for who? Are these questions for listeners?
So these are questions that have been written by us. It's 1 to 6, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to get each of you to spin the wheel, and then I'm going to ask you that question.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to answer it.
Yeah, so there'll be a question for you, Kimber, and there'll be a question for you, Pete.
I'll tell you what.
How inappropriate do you reckon they are, though?
I don't know. I suppose we'll find out.
We are doing it very early in the show.
Yeah, that's
so we can get away with more inappropriate stuff early.
We're doing it earlier than a male adult entertainer coming in to talk about his bits.
Okay.
Kimber, do you want to spin first?
Sure.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If it's too inappropriate for you, I'll take your question.
Thank you, Paige.
You're welcome.
Although you could
we've
throw
got to stick
under,
together.
And you could throw it under the bus because the question after could be even more inappropriate. So that's are you sure true. You want to do that?
Well, it doesn't mean we have to swap, right? It just means that we're going to try and protect each other.
Yeah, because these guys are trying to tear us apart.
I'm going to start on number one.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Okay.
She spun the wheel.
I'm sorry, I really gave it.
Jesus.
I gave it juice.
You guys
oh, wow. I really wow. gave it juice. Going. Okay, don't give it as much as me.
Put a WD-40 in the ball
oh,
bearings.
Oh, back on
it
one.
Back on one.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Oh. Just broken the piece of paper, but that's okay. I'm so glad this one came up.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Fire, shag, or marry?
Nah.
Producer Rami, producer Kerrod, and our boss Speedy.
Okay,
this
well,
is a HR nightmare waiting
Rami,
for
me.
Hang on,
Rami.
Hang on. I want you to think of Speedy, that time that he joined us at the regatta and he was in his dad clothes.
He was dressed like a dad. So it's Rami, Kerrod and Speedy.
Yes, fire, shag or marry.
Oh, okay. God.
God, you're shagging Kerrod, aren't you? I mean, really.
I mean, I think
he's beautiful.
I think we're shagging Kerrod.
Okay.
I think.
Did you hear that, Rami?
It's nothing
Rami's
personal.
So disappointed.
My body can't handle Rami's twerking. I think. Oh, this is awful. I don't want to fire either of you. I don't want to fire either of you. No, this is terrible, guys. This isn't going to work out for me.
You do have to have an answer for this.
Okay, I think I'm going to marry. I think I'm going to marry Rami.
Oh, you lucky man.
And I'm going to fire Speedy.
But, no one wants Speedy.
But you know what? It's just because, like, I know this company and they'll rehire him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's true. That's
they
very
just,
true.
Even,
yeah.
if you, even if you burn him, they'll still bring you back.
He's too good to let go. Yeah. Very well played, Kimber.
Well played.
Pete, are you happy?
I didn't want to fire him, though.
Yeah, you spin. Can you put it on number six, please? Put okay. it on number six.
Start it on number six. Yeah. I won't go as big of a spin as Kimber. Here
go.
We go. Oh, geez, it doesn't take much to really spin, does it?
It's a good spin.
Oh, oh.
Oh, you came. You landed on the same questions.
That means yeah, I don't have to answer one,
no,
right?
No, let's spin it again. Oh, my God. Okay. Number six.
Back on number six.
Back on number six.
Let's have it. What is it?
Oh, this is fine.
This is fine.
This is fine.
This is fine.
What's the worst thing you've stolen?
Worst thing I've stolen?
Yeah.
I know the answer to that.
My wife's heart.
Oh, God. It was not. It was a set of basketball cards.
It was, honestly. It was a set of basketball cards. That's literally it.
Pete and Kimber.
Married at First Sight, of course, on Nine at the moment. Lucinda Light joins us now. Good morning, Lucinda.
Morning, guys. How are we? I'm good.
Oh, we're great. Lucinda, something went terribly wrong with the casting this year in Maths because you are too good of a human to belong in this experiment.
Oh, I loved the journey on Married at First Sight. I'm very grateful for going on the experience. It was awesome. It was a medicine journey.
A medicine journey. Yeah. What's a medicine journey? Hang on a sec. Let me play the appropriate music for this. Lucinda. Lucinda Light from Maths. What's a medicine journey?
Well, you know, in the ordinary day to day, you don't learn as much as you do on a wild experiment like that, you know, it was outrageous. Yeah, I've learned a lot about myself. It's been incredible. That music's so distracting.
Lucinda, though, but you know, you had such insight and such positivity and things that we don't see on Maths. Generally, people on Maths are people who can't find love, who are struggling to meet their partner, and it exposes all of their flaws. Week by week, you just got better and better, and no one could really understand why you couldn't meet anybody.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, I was just being me, you know, that was my mantra, was just to be authentically me, and yeah, I don't know what to say. I just had to keep showing up for myself, you know, because I had a pretty challenging match in that, you know, poor Timbo had some pretty complex grief and processing going on. And I don't, you know, I think I was way more than he bargained for, really.
Oh, really, Lucinda? In what way? When you say way more than he bargained for, what do you mean?
Look, I'm a very acquired taste. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, I suppose you get into 40s as a woman. And, you know, we're a pretty bold bunch, us Aussie women in our 40s. And, yeah, I wasn't really, on reflection of watching the show, probably quite Tim's type, really.
Right. Well, Lucinda, I mean, if you're a fine wine, let me ask about the other bitter tannins that were in this series, right? So there was a few that we were constantly sitting back here going, what is going on with these people? Do they not see what's right in front of their face? And in particular, Jack and Tori. And Tori, we've spoken to Tori a few times on this show, right? I'm going to play you a little bit of audio here of the last time. This was Kimber trying to, again, tell Tori that Jack's just not good for you. And this was her response.
You're meeting a couple of chicks. He trains at the gym. He hasn't got any mates. Have you met any of Jack's friends?
Yes, if I can finish my sentence, thank you. He does have friends. I mean, you're absolutely entitled to your opinion.
I don't know anyone who calls their friends their network, Tori. Mm. That's ridiculous. No one calls them their network.
Well, that's... Look.
That's absurd. Oh, she's hung up.
She's gone.
Did she just hang up?
She's hung up.
Oh, no.
We lost her.
She's so sassy. Oh, my gosh. She hung up on you.
Would that be an expectation for you, knowing what you know of Tori?
Which be an expectation of her that she would hang out?
What was it like for you watching hers and Jack's relationship?
Look, to be honest, we as a little collective in there really didn't buy it. But you know, I do think. Now, I've seen some articles recently that she's moved to Gold Coast and they're, you know, they've moved in and they're giving it a go. So I do think that they are actually quite a resonant match for each other in retrospect. I mean, of what I'm seeing now, I think that they actually are giving it a go. So good for them, you know, good for them.
Honestly.
You're too nice, Lucinda.
I have my moments, don't worry. I'm pretty direct as well. I'm not just the nice girl.
Oh, okay. I think that Tori and Jack can make it work as long as Tori doesn't rock the boat.
Right.
Things will be just fine.
Yeah. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? A bit of a worry.
So, all right, Lucinda, just before we let you go, so love didn't happen for you here, but is it going to happen on the outside somehow? Is this growth for you?
Absolutely. I always believe in love, and I really hope there's somebody special out there for me. So... yeah, I'm staying open at this point and getting ready to gear up to date. I'm excited about that.
Mate, they'll be knocking on the door. I think you were glorious in the show.
Thanks, gorgeous lady. Thank you.
Good luck, Lucinda. We'll speak to you
later. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Big love.
Married at First Sight, just hammering along at the moment. One of your favourites, Lucinda Light, left the show last night.
Yeah, she had to leave, though. It was time for her to break up with Timothy because, sadly, Tim doesn't have it together.
Mm-hmm. Now, we spoke to her about that. We spoke to her about all sorts of things earlier this morning, including Jack and Tori and what their relationship really was like behind the scenes. She has some interesting theories. But she did mention this, being a woman in her 40s, about what it's like to be dating.
Look, I'm a very acquired taste. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, I suppose you get into 40s as a woman and... yeah. You know, we're a pretty bold bunch, us Aussie women in our 40s. I wasn't really, on reflection of watching the show, probably quite Tim's type.
It's interesting, isn't it?
What's really interesting for me is, more to the point, some stuff that you brought up off the air with me last week about women in their 40s and dating.
Yeah, you and I were chatting about a friend of mine who's recently gone through a breakup. And she's 43 and her partner was 50. And she was saying that, like, she feels like she might be single for a long time now because the dating pool is so small. And we were talking about why the dating pool is small, like why that is. And we worked out that we were like, okay, say a woman who's like 43, 44 breaks up with someone or she's looking for love, she's probably going to go... she'd date someone probably as high as 52, mm-hmm. but she wouldn't go lower than probably 38, 39 years of age. Mm. right? Because it just feels like, oh, we're getting 5 years younger now. And in men, that might be a bit too young.
Yeah.
But with men, men might be like 50, but they're prepared to date as low as 27.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio, 25.
Yeah,
I think
they'll go down to 25, yeah. And they're quite happy to go up to 60.
Yeah.
And so their dating pool is so much bigger. And I think women who reach their 40s now, they don't want to take care of a man. They're like, look, if we have to still pick your washing up off the floor, or you can't manage yourself at home, or you don't have financial stability, we don't want to take care of you. Right? Like, we want...
Oh, come on, you got to make some compromises somewhere.
We want... you want him to have it together. Whereas yeah. a man in his 50s dating someone who's 28, he couldn't care less if she's got it together. Mm. He's not worried if she's got financial stability and stuff, especially if he's got it together.
Is that because, generally, he's the one bringing home the... he's making the money.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. And women who are sort of financially secure and have that together are really at risk in their 40s as well. And the thing is, too, the dating pool is often affected by even men in that age who might have come out of a previous marriage or have got kids and their finances are heading over that way. Mm-hmm. Or they've lost a house to an ex-wife yep. or whatever. And so they're still in the dating pool willing to date someone your age, but they also don't have their lives together.
It's the baggage.
And so I think there's a bunch of people now that are sort of particularly women reaching their 40s and going, unless I find someone really epic, I'm not prepared to drop my standards. I don't have enough time to spend with the people I love, with yep. my friends and family. So I don't want to take any risks on anybody, and they'd rather stay single.
Okay. Now, I would love to hear from those women. Have you proper given up on finding love in your 40s? Proper given up.
Because it's very young.
Like, you can honest to God get on the phone to us and go, I've been through everything that you're talking about right now, Kimber. I feel this. I relate to this. And it's gotten to the point where I've had so many dating disasters, or the pool is that small, or I hear what you're saying. I've just proper given up. I'm not interested. I'm going to stay single the rest of my life.
Yep. And you'll be quite happy to do it.
Dominique in Padbury, have you?
Hello, guys. Kimber. I have tried for the last 5 years. I've actually never married and never actually fully lived with somebody because I've travelled most of my life. And since I've settled here in Perth 10 years ago, I have tried. But I'm sorry to say, I do totally agree with Kimber. After the age of 40, it gets harder and harder.
Yeah, do you think, Dominique, it's just because, like, you have set a level of sort of expectations of what you want from a partner, and if they can't reach those, it's just sort of like, well, I'm not going to settle.
Definitely. But also, as you mentioned before, there's lots of men that are coming out of relationships, and I'm sorry to say, I have created a group on Facebook that is making new friends, Ladies North of the River, and it's now hit 5,000 women, and there's lots of women that are still happily married, but there is a big majority that have also broken up, and that's every age group. It's not only in the 40s. I just find men and dating nowadays has become much more superficial, and dating itself has sort of gone by the wayside. It's much more about hookups and just getting what you want in a very superficial way.
Very diplomatic, Dominique.
Your rocks off. Forget it, Dominique. Okay, Lauren in Bankshire Grove, good morning. Tell us about your last attempt at love.
It was deal breaker dating.
Oh, with us.
Oh, you're Lauren, yeah, Lauren, as in Frank and Lauren.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
And so you've been trying...
I think you owe me another go.
So it didn't work out for you and Frank. No. But so, you know, have you actually thought there's still love out there for you, Lauren? What do you think is the biggest obstacle to meeting men these days?
Similar to what Dominique was saying, they want someone that I find it's just they want someone superficial and not into dating, and just I suppose I've set some boundaries for myself that, you know, I'm not looking for someone to move in with me. I'm independent. I've got my own my own mortgage and things like that, and I sort of, you know, I'm not looking at somebody just to, yeah, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at somebody as a companion, but yeah, I just find men uninterested in the old-fashioned, old-school dating. Yeah, just somebody with a bit of gentleman manners.
Gentleman manners. Hang on. A little bit of, like, opening the door for you and stuff like that.
Well, I think that's, that's pretty.
I want to know more about what happened with.
That's a bit superficial. I mean, it's more than just opening a door, isn't it?
I want to know more about what happened with Frank.
It's, I guess, just general respect and, you know, some people don't feel like they can find that in the dating world.
Do you reckon Lauren would come back for a deal breaker dating herself?
It sounded like she wants to.
I think I'll have a bit of a go. Rami, if you want to ask her if she'd come back for deal breaker day. Lee in Frio, so have you proper given up on finding love in your 40s, have you?
No, I haven't given up, but I've just been giving it a really good shot. And, the last guy that I dated around December was the ultimate catch. Like, he had absolutely everything. And you go younger and younger. Like, in my 30s, I would start going, like, 2 or 3 years younger, and that would be a big deal. And then late 30s, come 40, I'd go 5 years younger. This guy, I'm now 46, so this guy was 8 years younger than me, and my friends were giving me shit and stuff, and excuse me. And he just had absolutely everything. That he was the lawyer, he was really, really good looking, he had the yacht, he was super kind.
He had a yacht.
Did he also have a wife?
No, he didn't. He was completely single as far as I could research.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was absolutely amazing. We had the best date, unbeatable, would never want to top it, out on the yacht, sunset and everything. Dated him a few times, and it turned out that he actually had some mummy issues because he'd lost his mother to a great white shark attack in Tasmania in the
90s.
How did that manifest in your life, in your relationship together? Was it that he was trying to kind of get you to take care of him?
Oh, it was more just like seeing him revert back to that time when he was 4 years old, you know, when I guess we're having a bit of intimacy and, you know, the fluffy toy needed to be there. Sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it was...
What is going on?
Yeah. Well, it was just such a shock, and you realise there's kind of a reason why a lot of people stay single. You know, there's often issues, and it gets difficult. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if there's anyone out there on a yacht, we know he's.
Do you mean like a teddy bear or what?
Stop it.
Get Lee's deep. Hold on to Lee. I'm not done with this conversation, Rami. I don't know more about this.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Three topics. We've got 3 seconds to make up your mind on each one. Are we ready?
Yes.
No.
Ignore him. I'm here to play.
Doing a poo at your friend's house.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
What a start.
I mean, you just got to do it when you've got to do it.
Absolute yay. 100% yay.
There is a friend in our life.
Yeah.
I feel like he comes to our house to poo.
Oh.
He's like, everyone knows he does it. He goes to someone's house and almost immediately after he's arrived, he's like, I'm just going to use the bathroom.
Does he have plumbing issues?
I don't know, but like, if you've only just come over, why didn't you do it at your house before you came?
That's weird.
Oh, no, but there's a reason for that. There's like a actual thing that happens when you arrive at somebody's house. Like, it's the whole idea of the front door.
Like marking your territory.
Like, I don't know.
You are making that up.
No, legit. It's like, you know how when you feel, you know when you're in the car and you happen to be just a few minutes from home and all of a sudden you start to get that feeling?
Yeah, Dr. Carl says he talked about that, but it was about entering your own front door, not going to a friend's house to take a dump.
The band-aid off on that one, didn't you?
The reason I brought this up, by the way, is because on Saturday night I was at a friend's house having dinner, but I went to use the bathroom, and then while I was using the bathroom, got a bit bored, so I decided to text the boss, Speedy, about something, and then he called me straight away. And then I was like, oop, can I call you back in 2 minutes? I'm just doing a poo. And then when I call him back, I explained where I was. And he's like, why the hell are you doing a poop at a friend's house?
I think it's a problem.
Exactly.
I think it's a problem at
all. See, you're wrong.
Texting on the... Yeah, okay.
Oh, I have separation anxiety when the toilet. I need to be talking to someone.
Have you ever gotten a phone call from Rami when he's been on a toilet?
No.
It's fun.
No.
It's a lot of fun.
Rami doesn't have many reasons he has to call me. I'm usually quite well behaved.
Yeah, you don't have a reason for me either.
Second one. This is the bit we have to play some audio soon.
Oh, okay. Yep.
being, and listen very carefully to the wording of this because I have to work on this one, being a donor recipient regardless of who the donor is.
3, 2, 1
Yay.
So you don't care
of course.
Who the recipient
Nobody
is.
Nobody tells you who the donor is anyway.
I mean, wouldn't you want to know?
Are you kidding me?
Why?
People out there are trying to have their lives saved, and if you get an organ from somebody, of course it doesn't matter.
What if you got Putin's kidney?
Yeah, but like then you just deal with that, right? You wouldn't know it was Putin. I don't think that like Putin is formed from his kidney.
Oh. What about this then?
In an historic first, a kidney from a genetically modified pig has been successfully transplanted into a human.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't mind that because that's
you want a pig kidney inside of you.
That's fine.
Yeah, but they've been using like pig hearts and pig stents in hearts for years.
Yeah,
this is the first time I think where the person hasn't died so far. So they've successfully.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's incredible,
and it means that if they can farm like organs for people, like I mean that's a huge. That's a game changer.
That was a discussion with my friends over the weekend, and they all said no, they wouldn't want it. I'm like, but what if you die?
Okay,
like,
well, your friends are on the undeserving list.
Let's go back talking about poo.
Wow.
No, let's not. Have you got another one?
I do have one more for you. Storing chocolate in the fridge.
3, 2, 1
Nay.
Yay.
Nay.
Ooh. Oh, yay.
Nay. Nah, freezer. Oh, it's so good.
Wait, that wasn't an option in my
head. It's so refreshing. It's so refreshing.
What about the ones with the goo in the middle? Do they freeze?
Yeah,
they
freeze
hard?
And then you can pop them in your mouth and you like suck all the chocolate off on the outside and then the gooey center starts like a Cadbury cream egg in the freezer is heaven.
Oh.
I'd tongue the hell out of that.
Move on. Yeah, I can't focus.
The Pete and Kimber Podcast.